Maybe it was mine from last week. I thought I was in the dark. 53 lights here, Mark, hope you don't mind. Y'all believe that? The church is still alive?
Amen.
Yes, it is. Mark. Even when we have an attendance issue and some people are out or sick or traveling or holidays, whatever, when we come together,
Mark,
the church is alive. The importance of church attendance. Now, before I get into this, let me just share with you what I feel like that God is still, Spirit is in this place called Cove Baptist Church. This year has been, 2018 has been a little rough year for us attendance-wise, and I'm not exactly sure why, but it has been. Been a little challenging financially, but as I shared with you, our people come together, sacrificed, and brought us back together where we needed to be. The last Saturday night proved to me that even though our church goes through some real tough times sometimes, and as I look out, you know, and there's 25 or 30 of us here, we should be 75 or 100, I do get discouraged and wonder if it's time for me to retire and just sort of going down the highway and let a young person come in and see what they can do. Then we have a service like last Saturday. And all of a sudden, we get one phone call and we're able to do something last Saturday night that we've never been able to do in the 32 years I've been here. So we go through a rough year, attendance-wise, financially, and everything else. And the Lord, in one service, brings back the money and is able to do for our children something we've never, ever been able to do in 32 years here. And don't tell me the church is not alive.
Amen.
And don't tell me that God still doesn't love this little place. And when we reach out to Him, He says, I know you've had a little suffering. Let's bring it all back together right now. And that's what we did last Saturday night. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, I'm going to talk about, for the next 2 to 3 months, this thing called, what does Sunday mean to you? Or the importance of church attendance. We live in a world today where really Sunday is really just another day. There's really nothing. Everything is open on Sunday. Businesses, people work as much on Sundays now as they do Monday through Saturday. You can hardly find a place that's not open on Sunday. It's a business day. Something else that I'm going to say, and I'll say this several times. The world tells us that Sunday's just another day. And I tell you how Satan is using that. Is that anymore, sports is just another day on Sunday. And when you have kids that are in sports, and they have practice on Sunday morning, play on Sunday morning. That's happening all over the world. And taking people completely out of church. Because the world don't care. It's just another day. Now to you and I, in the church, it shouldn't be just another day. Sunday is the day. Sunday is the most important day of the week. It's the first day of the week, according to the Bible. Number one, important. Now, and I will say this several times, So I'm saying it now, I've got a small group, but I'll say to however many attend this series, I've got no problem with churches on Saturday. I'm calling this the importance of Sunday, but it's actually the importance of church attendance. So if we have a church, if we have our services once a month on Saturday, that is our time to come to church. And a lot of churches have church the whole entire weekend. Saturday, Sunday. So when I talk about the importance of Sunday, I mean the importance of church attendance, whether that is Sunday or Saturday. What I want to make sure that we understand is, as a church member, someone who is saved, someone who is a member of a particular church, I owe my allegiance to that church until I choose to change churches. An allegiance means, God says in His Word, and we'll study this, that this is where we need to be. Now, are there some excuses to miss? Well, sure there are. If you're sick and you're contagious, you're in a hospital, sure. You're hurt like common sense. You can't be here. God's not going to hold you accountable for that. Now, I will say, when I get into sickness, don't miss because of a headache. Don't miss because of a hangnail. Because the next thing you know, you may really be sick. If you're sick, make sure you're sick. Now, vacation. I love vacation. I can't wait to get away from you people sometimes. And obviously, sometimes you guys can't wait to get away from me. Because some people take vacations for years, I don't see them. I don't know where they go for vacation for 2 or 3 years, but but obviously everybody needs a vacation. Vacation is a time that you can get away. God ain't going to hold you accountable for that. And in one other area we're going to look at is this thing on working on Sundays. And I understand that sometimes that has to be. That's why we went to a Saturday night service. One of the reasons was to give some people an opportunity who work on Sunday morning to come. But we're going to talk about the options you may have. Now, obviously, if you've been in a place for 30 years and you get ready to retire, you've got no options. You have to work on Sunday. That's just the way it is. But let me give you some advice, because I've been some times when I had to work on Sunday when the Lord called me to preach. Besides saving me first and then called me to preach. Now, I'm not saying this for everybody who's called to preach, but everybody that's a Christian. I had to make some choices, and I made some choices. And I left behind a good income to get away from working on Sundays. And I want to tell you right now, I've never missed a meal, never missed a house payment, never missed a car payment, never missed anything when I walk away from a good paying job and put my Lord first. I mean that with all of my heart. We make choices in life. So we're going to talk about all of this over the next couple months. But how really important is it to us to be the church? Let's see if it's in Scripture. Alright, here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Excuse the cough, people. The more I talk, I may cough just a little bit, and I apologize for that. This is the same scripture we're going to use over and over and over and over, because I'm going to constantly be talking about this. And let us consider, us are Christian people. We are the us. We are the church. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembly together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Now, let me explain this. Let me put it in everyday language for you. Let us think about something. That's what the word consider means. Think about this. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We need to be thinking about how we can provoke. Y'all know what that word means? If you provoke somebody, you are creating an action in them. Now, I can provoke you to anger. Let me just say something out of the way. Make you mad. I can provoke you by encouraging you, hugging you, praying for you, calling you, emailing you, however way communication can be. Provoke means I do an action to get an action from you. If I walk up to you and take my fist and hit you in the nose, I'm going to provoke you. Right? If I walk up to you and hug you, hopefully that's going to provoke you. Walk up to you and kiss you on the neck, kiss you on the lips. I mean, I don't do that to one woman, but I'm trying to provoke something. You get the point? I give an action, you give it back. Well, when you say, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, we are to provoke each other. I show you love, you show me love. Right? Good works. I encourage you, you encourage me. To do what? To live a Christian life. The best place to do that is where? Church. Why? Because that's where I'm going to see you. I don't nose into your homes. I don't know where you work. Most of the time I don't socialize with you. And every time I have, I get in trouble. So this is the meeting place. This is the place where we consider and think about each other. Because you see, I think about you when I'm looking at you. If I can see you, I'm thinking about you. The older I get, if I can't visualize it, I can't think on it. Understand that? So if I see you, I'm thinking about you. If I'm thinking about you, it means I'm giving you time. And the best way to love somebody is to give them time. It may be 10 seconds with a hug. Maybe 5 minutes in counseling. Maybe us sitting here and just reacting to each other as I preach. But this is what church does. This is why it's important for us to be in church. So we provoke love and good works to each other. Now, believe it or not, there are some churches that don't provoke that. There are some churches where the congregation's mad at each other, can't stand each other. And not in this place. Number one, I don't allow that. Because I tell you all the time, I'd rather have 32 people that love the Lord than to have 300 that can't stand each other. I really mean that. I really do. Now, look at verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembly together. Forsake means to leave out. We are assembling together right now. This is what we do. We're an assembly. We're in a group. We're in a building. We are assembled together. Alright? As the custom of some is. But exhorting one another. Another big word, we'll explain this. And so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Now, we are to provoke. not in a bad way, but in a good way. Love each other. Encourage each other. We're not to forsake coming to church. When the doors are open, we need to be there. As is the custom. Custom means this is the way we do things in the Christian church. And exhorting one another. Exhorting just simply means even go take it to the next level beyond encouraging. It means to help. Not only should I encourage you, but any way I can help you, I need to help you. If I've got the means to do that. Whether that's praying for you, hugging you, helping you, maybe food, maybe even be money. That's what the church is supposed to do when it can. So, when we look at the word exhorting, when the church comes together, we give our tithes and our offering. It goes to keep the doors of this place open, maintain the building, provide heat, air conditioning, a comfort level where we can come in and assemble together. This is what we do. Alright? This is what we do. I understand you that. Now, I want you to look at this last verse with me. And so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Y'all see that? You see it, don't you? This means yes. We're paying attention. I know there's some people walking around. Don't worry about that. This is very important. What this means, the day drawing nigh. What day is he talking about? The rapture of the church. The closer we get to the rapture of the church, that's how much more important church attendance should be.
There's people up there.
That's what it means. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Because I tell you this, and I will repeat this over and over and over, there are going to be some people at the rapture of the church
that's
not
going
to leave this world. And they attend church. Understand something, folks. We should come to church to understand what Jesus is all about. But this church don't save you. Coming to church don't save you. You come to church because you're saved. Now, a lot of people get saved in church because they come to hear the Word of God, they respond to it, and they walk the aisle. We baptize them, and they're saved in church. But the church within itself cannot save nobody. It's just an address. We're 509 South Park Road. That's all it means. And when we ascend, this building ain't going. It's going to be left behind because it's a building. It's just a place where we assemble. You and I or the church. This is an address. You get that? This is an address on a map. You know how to get here. You drive here. It's just an address. But you and I are the church. And it's the church that's going to be raptured one day. Not a building. Now we believe that that day can be any day. Everything within God's scripture has been fulfilled. So if we believe that, this scripture comes even more alive. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the custom of some. And I tell you, this word some, I thought, the custom of some. You know, it's only some people that come to church. You know that? Only some people come. More than likely, in your family, you got more people that's not in church than in church. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. And the Bible says the closer we get to this day drawing nigh, there's going to be this falling away because people don't care anymore. Or they don't have time. Someone asked me here, well, it's been a while ago, what is the main thing that Satan uses anymore? And I said, time. Satan loves to convince you that you don't have time. Because he takes time and effort to get here. Look at everything you could be doing right now. You could be working, sleeping, shopping, eating, traveling, watching TV, playing on a computer. There's so much you could be doing right now. See, church requires time. That is one requirement that it does require. It does require effort. The reason it does is because it took effort for Jesus to go to the cross, and it took some time. He didn't hang on that cross for 10 minutes, people. He hung on that cross for 6 hours. Now, you say 6 hours. If you've got nails in your hands, nails in your feet, and you've got the sins of the world on your back, 6 hours, this is an eternity. You've been in pain? If you're in pain, 5 minutes is an eternity if you're in real pain. Is it? It is in the Brian. I mean, it is a lifetime if you're in real pain. And Jesus took that lifetime in 6 hours and changed everybody else's life for eternity if they're willing to believe it. And then if you believe it, he gave time for you and I. Surely good as we can give him some time. Time. We're going to talk a lot about time over the next couple, 2 or 3 months. Understand something, folks. Just how important is Sunday? And you know how important it is to those who give time to come. It's just about that simple. Those who take the time to come to God's house shows you how important it is. Because it's going to take time. Now, you can debate all day whether or not church is fun. I don't know whether it's fun. It's fun for me. I like it. I enjoy coming. I enjoy being around people. I have fun, and I enjoy it, because I get strength from you. The more of you that's here, the more strength I have. But I figured out a long time ago something, and I've shared this with a lot of young ministers coming into this calling. If there's 300 people in front of you, or if there's 3 people in front of you, they deserve the best that you've got. Whether this church is full or I'm preaching to a handful, I'm not going to preach any different. I'm going to give you all I got. Because you deserve it. You deserve to hear the Word of God in a way that you can understand it, in a way that it's enjoyable, and in a way that when you leave, you've been challenged. And that's all basically a sermon is to tell you what God says about everyday life and how to live it. And believe me, we all have a life that we live. As I told the men in Sunday school this morning, there were 7 or 8 of us in there. Everybody had a different journey to get here. And I mean, I got some real old men. Real old men. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful I got them, and they're thankful they got the health to walk in this building. Amen. Huh? But we all travel a different journey. But on Sundays, we all meet here. We assemble here. And sometimes we've all had a week. And sometimes, in Brother Larry's case, he's had a month. We don't ever know what we're going to face, what we're going to deal with. But we still meet here on Sundays to draw strength from each other. So we care about each other because we've got a common cause here. As the old saying goes, we're not blood family. We're family by choice. And yet, maybe we are a little bit of blood family because of the blood of Jesus that brought us together. But we make choices in life. And we're going to talk about these choices over the next several months. When you get up on Sunday morning, you have a choice to make. And what is those choices? Obviously, a lot of people make choices to do other things, and maybe they get good excuses. But let me tell you something between a good excuse and a bad excuse. I really take this to heart. Because I don't really know the difference. But God does. And I think one day when we meet God, we're going to have a lot of excuses. Don't you? And I've got a feeling he's going to have a little checklist there. And we're going to throw him out some excuses and he's going to say, no. Another excuse. No. Another excuse. You have every opportunity in life to be in God's house, and you make the choice not to. Then again, excuse after excuse after excuse. Close with this story. And I hate this for the guys that's in Sunday school class because sometimes they get two sermons and sometimes they overact with each other. But I was telling them several years ago, I saw a person, and they hadn't been in church in about a year, year and a half or so. I said, we miss you in church, and we'd love to see you come back. And, well, I got hurt. I've heard that 1,000 times. I got hurt. Okay? Usually the first thing that I'll say is, was it me? Most of the time, about 75% of the time, it's a preacher. That just comes along with the job. And if it is me, and I think I did something wrong, I'll be the first to apologize to anybody. If I hurt your feelings, if I did something, I'll be glad to apologize. This person said, no, it wasn't you. But this person also said, you know, I don't have to come to church every Sunday to worship God. I said, oh, really? That's really how you think? I said, because really, I don't agree with that. I think if you love God, if you love somebody, you want to be around them. This is his house. This is his home. He opens it up for you. It's like saying, you know, I love a kid, but I ain't seen that kid in 20 years. Maybe I've fallen out, maybe this or that or whatever. But you know as well as I do, if you love somebody, you'll find a way to be around them. And I said to this person, I said, I have never seen one person yet that could keep me out of church. Not one. I don't care if they don't like me. I don't care if they're mad at me. I don't care if they can't stand my guts. I've not had a person yet that can keep me out of church. I keep me out of church. Let's give a little round of applause. It's all about me. I don't care what you say to me or don't say to me or whatever the case may be. Because if you stay away from church every time somebody said something wrong to you, well, you never would ever go. And this is good people, but hey, ain't nobody in here perfect. We all got mouths. We all got attitudes. I mean, you know, we all got them. And sometimes we bring them right in here with us when we come. But we're not a perfect church. We're not perfect people. But to say that I would stay home from church because somebody hurt my feelings, I want you to really tell that to Jesus one day. I really want you to say, oh, I would like to have gone to worship, you know, and be a part of your fellowship, Jesus, but Lord, that Mary, I can't stand her. I ain't going to go to church with her. He's going to say, well, depart from me and depart from Mary. You ain't going to have to see Mary no more. But you're going to hell. That's effort just really. What's that? I won't pull no punches in this next 2 or 3 months because this is important. Because I do think this day drawing nigh is right here for us. And I would rather make you mad and get you into heaven than to have you love me and go to hell. I really would. Because I've done been here 32 years, I got nothing to lose. I mean, I might as well tell you the truth. You can fire me, but I'm going to tell you the truth. There's going to be a lot of truth to be said right in the next couple, 2 or 3 months. But it's time for people to get your act together. What do you think? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Let's stand. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father, we love you and we praise you today. Oh, Father, your word is powerful. Father, we've got some people in our church who need to wake up. We've got some people in this community that need to wake up. Father, I just pray that your grace abounds. For Father, one day that trumpet is going to sound. Father, truly, we are thankful for your spirit today. Father, we love you. To those who need a quiet time, just offer, we pray for those folks. To those, Father, who really, truly need me to pray with them and let them come forward. But most of all, for somebody that's lost, let them come and let me introduce them to Jesus. Father, we are small in number, but we're big in spirit. Bless our church and our people. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as Michael continues to play, would you come? In the name.